This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
What does every grocery store aisle now have in common? Products that come in paper packaging. And we don't just mean the obvious ones like cereal boxes and juice cartons. From beauty products to boxed water, there are more opportunities to go paper-tarian than ever before. So why should you? Because paper comes from a renewable resource and can be recycled up to 7 times. Simply put, it's the smart choice for the environment. And it turns out, the easiest choice for you. Learn more at howlifeunfolds.com/papertarian.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Hey everyone, welcome into the Fantasy Bros Football Podcast. I'm your host, Bobby Sylvester, and Mike Tagliere is out this week. He's writing a book. I'm so glad for him that he's finally, putting the pen to paper. I'm here with Kyle Yates, of course. We're on Twitter, at Bobby Fantasy Pro, and at Kyle Y NFL. Kyle, how's it going, man?
I'm good, man. I just had like a really good lunch, so I might get like a little drowsy. I don't know if you guys get that where like I, after a good meal, like all I want to do is take a nap. So hopefully that doesn't happen, but otherwise, man, I'm doing great.
You know, if your energy level's a little bit low, that's okay, because mine's going to be really high, because I just smashed a bunch of candy right before the podcast, and we've got a great guest, too, which is really going to bring up the energy level. It's Heath Cummings of CBS Sports. He's an analyst of Fantasy Football Today and Fantasy Baseball Today. Heath, thanks for coming to the show. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, and it's really good. It's always fun to be on with you guys.
Yeah, thanks. It's definitely our pleasure. Hey, guys, give Heath a follow on Twitter if you don't already. He's at his name, Heath Cummings, S-R. All right, guys, before we start the show, I want to tell you about a really great tool that you can use for your benefit in your fantasy league this year. It's called our Cheat Sheet Creator, and you can find it at fantasypros.com/draftwizard. Guys, it's super easy to use, and it's really convenient just being able to import your rankings from anywhere on the web or even a spreadsheet, like if you build it out yourself. You know, something I liked to do before I was an analyst in the industry was I would go out and I would find the 4 or 5 most consistent, most accurate experts, and I would combine them into my own consensus cheat sheet, and then I would upload it and use it in the draft simulator and draft assistant tools. Guys, you can do the same type of thing, and for premium members, you can even edit your rankings through a simple drag and drop interface, create player tiers, import and edit player notes, and MVP and Hall of Fame users specifically can even add auction values to their cheat sheets. Again, the cheat sheet creator can be found at fantasypros.com/draftwizard. All right, guys, here's the plan for today's show. The draft's over. We're done talking about dynasty rookie drafts. Most of you guys have done your rookie drafts. You know, we'll keep answering questions on Twitter, of course, as they come in. Maybe we'll do a podcast here or there. But right now, we're going to talk about redraft rankings. And I understand we're probably 3 months away from when you guys are drafting. But what else are you going to do right now? Aren't you excited about fantasy football? So let's dive into it. We're going to start with running backs and then talk about quarterbacks on today's show. Later in the week, we're going to do wide receivers and tight ends. And there's going to be some fights because I was looking through our rankings and there are some major differences, Kyle. Now, Heath, we're going to agree a lot, because I'm looking through the guys that that you say you're higher on. And the first one I want to start with here is Chris Carson. I've got him ranked as my RB14. Yates, you've got him as RB24. Heath, I know that you like Carson quite a bit, but how high do you have him?
I think I've got him an RB9 right now, so I'm even...
Oh, man! Okay, so you make me feel like I'm the middle guy.
Once you get past the top 7, maybe 8 running backs... The past month's been a very turbulent time for this group. Miles Sanders up, Aaron Jones and Le'Veon Bell down. You've got, so I think like a lot of guys have moved around. And I just, the more I hear out of Seattle, that they don't sound very confident that Rashad Penny's going to be full speed ahead for the start of the season. There have been some little rumors about Marshawn Lynch, but I don't think Marshawn Lynch is right. coming into Seattle to be a 15 touch of back. Like, he's going to wait until week 16 if they need him, and then he'll show up. He's not coming to practice for a whole 4 months. I don't think DJ Dallas is a real threat, and I still expect this to be one of the most run-heavy offenses in the NFL. So I love, like, there's things to not like about Carson in terms of the lack of involvement in the passing game or the injury history, but you get to right. this point already in the running backs, and there's no sure things.
Yates, what do you think, man? Why do you have him down at 24? Just to be clear, ECR has him at 16. His ADP thus far, and I get it's a small sample size, is at 16.3. So you're not too far off, Yates. I'm just trying to figure out where are Heath and I, what are we missing? Are we missing something?
Yeah, well, I mean, this early on in the process, it's hard to definitively project in where these guys are going to be as far as like full health, right? Like Chris Carson has his own injury concerns that he's coming back from too. So I think what for me, the difference there is that I am projecting currently that Rashad Penny will be back and healthy for the start of the season. Will he probably be at, you know, the start of the season, whenever that actually is? Maybe not. But at this point, I'm projecting that. So, you know, I can definitely see how Heath got to having him at RB9 because you're talking about, again, one of the most run-heavy offenses in the NFL. So if Rashad Penny isn't there, DJ Dallas was a fourth-round pick, but and I like his game, but he's not going to be a factor right out of the gate. I definitely understand how Chris Carson can get that carry total to get him up into the top 10. For right now, I'm just not projecting that. If we get news that Rashad Penny is going to be placed on the PUP, Chris Carson will go skyrocketing up my rankings.
Chris Carson last year, I'm talking half PPR scoring, finished RB11 ahead of Kamara, Joe Mixon, Todd Gurley, Josh Jacobs, just behind Saquon Barkley. Now, when you're ranking him number 9, Heath, are you talking about half PPR scoring or standard scoring? Because in standard scoring, obviously, Chris Carson is a lot more of a benefit to your fantasy teams.
Yeah, I don't have a big difference. I've got him 8th in non-PPR and 10th in PPR. So that's why I said I think I'd have him around 9th. I have him 9th in half. But I think like he's probably going to catch 30, 35 passes anyway. And there's not a lot of guys behind him. They're going to catch a lot more than that and have his rushing upside.
Sure, I think that's totally fair. And, you know, one of the things with a guy like Chris Carson is, they're a prime candidate to go out and get one of these veteran running backs. There's still Devontae Freeman sitting out there, right? All kinds of players. If Seattle wants a guy for protection behind Carson, or so that Carson doesn't have to touch the ball 20-plus times a game, obviously that would change our rankings a ton. If Penny is out for 7 weeks, obviously that would change Yates' rankings a ton. A lot's going to change in the next 3 months, but you know, just want to check in and see where everybody is on a player like this. Now, the next name, I'm really excited to hear what you have to say about this because I'm starting to come around, Heath. You're very high on David Montgomery this year.
Yeah, and I started out, like I think I did my first round of projections in January, which is just madness. I did it then because I knew I wouldn't have time to go through that entire process now. And so as I've adjusted, Montgomery just seems to move up like almost every time that I make adjustments because other guys are going down. I think he's pretty close to a lock for 280 touches. He's probably not going to be as inefficient as he was as a rookie. He's not going to have the slow start that he had with them deciding to give short yardage carries to Mike Davis for some reason. I just think he was a guy I was excited about going into last year. He had a bad year, but last year, like prior to last year, Tariq Cohen had been an extremely efficient back, and he was terrible last year as well. I just think that Bears situation was pretty awful, and it's not going to be great in 2020, but I do think it will regress back a little bit more towards normal. And if you have it's really hard to get 280 touches and not be a top 25 running back.
So right now, his ECR is RB24. That's also his ADP. It's going to be very similar this time of the year. ECR is the expert consensus rankings where we mash, you know, 40 experts right now, 120 eventually together and say, as a consensus, this is what the analysts in the industry are ranking a player. So RB24, how high do you have him, Heath?
I've got him running by 20.
Okay. And Yates, you've got him even higher. And I love to talk to guys who are fans of the team because they're paying a lot better attention. You're a Bears fan, Yates. What are you hearing that makes you so high on David Montgomery this year?
Yeah, well, I literally just published earlier today my first series that I'll be doing throughout the offseason called Kyle Why, and I had why David Montgomery will be a top 15 running back in 2020. I think that Heath mentioned it. You don't find these type of running backs who have the type of volume now that David Montgomery is going to see. You have the look at the depth chart behind David Montgomery in Chicago. It's David Montgomery, Tariq Cohen, which Tariq Cohen has never seen more than 99 carries in a season. So he's not this back who's going to take away a large carry percentage away from, you know, David Montgomery. And then you have Ryan Nall, who was an undrafted free agent in 2018. And then Artavis Pierce, undrafted free agent this year out of Oregon State, I believe. So that's it. Like, David Montgomery is going to be the guy in Chicago. We can't talk enough about how much Mitchell Trubisky held back this offense last year. If you look at their run percentage and the overall plays that they ran in 2018 when Matt Nagy came in and that offense was doing pretty well, David Montgomery and Jordan Howard, excuse me, at that time had a very large carry percentage. And this is what we have to type a kind of project forward for 2020. So I think with Nick Foles there as a starter, Nick Foles is not going to be necessarily this top 15 quarterback in the NFL, but he can execute that offense. And so that's all they need with a good defense and with someone who can simply just help move the chains, open things up in the running game for David Montgomery. He's walking into one of the largest workloads in the entire NFL. And I think that he is going to be able to produce slightly more than what he did last year. If he does, that puts him in that top tier.
You know, we just did a mock draft episode with Sean Corner, and I drafted David Montgomery, so don't hear me wrong. I just have a problem with you ranking him way over David Johnson. Because if David Johnson and David Montgomery are sitting on the board, I'm taking David Johnson, baby. Better offense. I think he's the better running back when he's healthy. Now, obviously, he wasn't healthy last year. And I know you posted that that GIF that went crazy on Twitter where he looked like an old man. Like, if that's the David Johnson we get, I don't want him in my top 80 running backs. I've got him number 16 right now, though. Heath, who would you prefer between David Johnson and David Montgomery?
I'm going to be Switzerland in this one. I think I do think I have David Johnson one spot ahead. I have them separated by 2.5 fantasy points in my half PPR rankings. So I think it's really, really close. Similar situations. The one question I have with David Johnson, he's been pretty terrible as a rusher, still good as a pass catcher. They've already got a guy on the team that's not great as
great
a rusher
point.
And really great as a pass catcher, Duke Johnson. So I'd like to know what share of the targets David Johnson has a shot at, because if he's only a first and second down guy, and they've said he's a three down back, well, we know that, but are you just going to not involve Duke Johnson in the offense anymore? If Duke Johnson's a significant part of the offense, then I'd probably take David Montgomery, because I think David Montgomery can do more on the ground than David Johnson.
It's an interesting point when you go back and look at his career. Like, even when he was dominating, 3.6 yards per carry, come on, 4.2 yards per carry the season he had 20 touchdowns. We all knew regression was coming because of the touchdowns. We didn't know the injuries were injuries always come for guys who get big workloads. It's just inevitable. But yeah, you're kind of talking me down on David Johnson. Probably not enough to move him behind David Montgomery, but Montgomery's going up, Johnson's going down. That's why we have these conversations all offseason when we do, is so that we can, you know, perfect our rankings, so that we can give the best possible advice for when your drafts are beginning. And this is a process, so I'm glad we're talking about him. I want to pick on you here, Yates, because Antonio Gibson, you are 30 spots higher on me than. Do you think he's going to start this year for Washington?
That backfield is so freaking confusing to stat out to begin with. So right now I have Darius Geis, Adrian Peterson, and Antonio Gibson kind of all lumped together. I have Adrian Peterson with 158 rushing attempts, Antonio Gibson with 125, and Darius Geis with 104. Like, that's just, until I get more clarity, that's kind of where I'm at with this backfield. But with Antonio Gibson, they're going to deploy him all over the field. And I think that when you have guys like Steven Sims, was a great story last year. I think he came on and showed some things, but he's not like the top talent. Antonio Gibson is electric with the ball in his hands, and he has experience at wide receiver. So if you put him, if he becomes that slot receiver in that offense, I think Washington is still going to have to throw the ball quite a bit this year. And you have unproven guys on the outside like Antonio Gandy-Golden. Again, I like Golden's upside, but he's still unproven. Kelvin Harmon, same thing. Terry McLaurin is really the only solid guy there, and he played a very small percentage of his snaps in the slot last year. So I'm projecting forward that Antonio Gibson is going to be this hybrid, like, get him some touches on the run game, and he can become your slot receiver primarily, where I think that that's kind of rotational until we get more clarity on this. That's kind of why I have him super high in my rankings.
All right, before we get to the next player, I want to tell you about the perfect place to find a great Father's Day gift. In fact, I know Father's Day is not here quite yet. I already gave my dad his Father's Day gift because Fielder's Choice Goods has the perfect gift for a baseball-loving father in your life. A Fielder's Choice Goods wallet handcrafted from vintage baseball glove leather. And guys, it smells phenomenal. It smells like a fresh baseball glove. And Father's Day is right around the corner for you guys. So you guys need to check out Fielder's Choice Goods because their wallets are sourced from vintage baseball gloves from across the United States. They hand cut each one individually, then combine it with premium quality full grain steer hide with relentless attention to detail. The result is this beautiful, functional, artisan quality product that celebrates the legacy of our shared pastime with every single use. It's not just a wallet, it's a conversation piece too, and your dad is going to love it, or you'll love it if you get it for yourself. Since every glove is different, no two wallets are the same, and yours will literally be the only one of its kind in existence. Visit www.fcgoods.com and use the discount code FANTASYPROS at checkout for a special offer. They're going to custom monogram your wallet for free. Again, that's fcgoods.com and use the discount code FANTASYPROS. That's going to save you $25 getting your wallet custom monogrammed, and it's going to make a perfect gift that much more personal. Order now to get it in plenty of time for Father's Day, or heck, forget your dad and just grab yourself one of the most beautiful functional accessories you'll ever own. Again, that's fcgoods.com. Discount code FANTASYPROS for a special offer at checkout. So Heath, one guy that you're very high on, Tariq Cohen, another Bears running back. He was a top 12 running back in 2018, drafted out of the fourth round. But as a rookie, and I think this is the same type of player as Antonio Gibson is. Now, obviously, Cohen's the human joystick. He's a lot smaller and even shiftier than Antonio Gibson, but they're the same type of player. I could see Gibson eventually becoming this player, but as a rookie, he was RB41. Do you think that's more in line of what's going to happen in 2020? Or do you think that he takes the job from the get-go? They're playing from behind, lots of passing downs, and he gets himself 70, 80 receptions.
I think that's unlikely. I don't necessarily disagree with anything Kyle said. This Washington backfield, I mean, they act like they just do not like Darius Geis or Dwayne Haskins or anyone that was on the team before they got there at all. And so I don't want to put anything past Washington and what their plans are for Gibson. Right now, I'm projecting him for a lot more production in the passing game than in the rushing game. I do think I was actually still like significantly higher on Gibson than the ECR. I've got him at 45 and a half PPR, but that's still significantly behind Tariq Cohen. Geist is still my favorite back in this backfield for now. I'm afraid that something's going to happen in training camp that's going to confirm my thought that they may not like him. But I would say amongst the rookies, like, Gibson is closer to the big five than he is to any of the other rookies for me.
Yates, who do you think has the most upside in this backfield?
I mean, it's Gibson. I mean, Gibson saw he saw a very, very minimal amount of carries in college. I think only 33 and like 77 total touches in college. But because he was playing behind guys like Darrell Henderson and Tony Pollard in years past, and so he didn't see the field until this past year. But every time that he got the ball in his hands, he's electric and he's a playmaker. He made things happen. So I think that if you're talking about pure upside, and like, I think the offensive coordinator compared him to like Christian McCaffrey. I'm like, no.
Right.
Like, please do not. No, let's not take it that far. But I think that until we get more clarity, and I'm not projecting that Darius Geis is going to be the guy at this point. I haven't seen it. And whenever he's gotten a workload, he's been injured. So I'm not comfortable projecting him forward to be that main guy. And that allows Gibson to take some of those touches.
It's funny. I actually like Adrian Peterson the most out of this backfield. And I'm not going to draft any of them because it's Washington's backfield, right? But I agree. I think Gibson has the most upside because he can be used as that three-down back. And I actually like that he doesn't have many touches in college. I probably won't be having any shares of him, especially in leagues I'm in with you because you'll be drafting him. But yeah, I don't think it's a bad call whatsoever. Let's move on to another running back. And I'm not going to tell you which side Yates and I are on, Heath, okay? You get to break the tie by picking your side before either of us make our case. What do you think about Marlon Mack this year? I mean, Jonathan Taylor comes in. Does he get the job immediately? Do you think that we can use Marlon Mack as a fantasy-relevant running back for the first 6 weeks? Or do you think that it's Taylor's job right away and Mack is just a high-end handcuff?
I think that if you go zero running back and you are looking for a guy that will probably start the first two or three weeks of the season until you can find a better running back, Marlon Mack's not a bad pick, like round nine-ish. I do think Jonathan Taylor is significantly more talented than Mack. Now, there's a little window because of the problems that Taylor had in college. I think they're overblown, but everybody knows that Jonathan Taylor fumbled in college. And so if he has a fumble or two in training camp, then there's a window for Mack to keep the job longer or to keep the red zone work, which keeps him fantasy relevant all year long. His projection to me is kind of irrelevant when you're evaluating. I think he's right around running back 45 or something for me. I'm not taking him in the first seven or eight rounds, but I do think that I have more interest in him if I don't have great options for early in the season as far as a starting running back goes, because I think it's most likely, really with all of these rookies, that they are not going to start week one, week two, week three. We still don't know for sure what training camp's going to look like, and I right. know that there are past examples where the rookies have done okay. A couple of them will do okay, but I'm more scared about the rookies in the first quarter of the season than I normally would be. I think Mack could be okay week one, two, three, but I think Taylor's taking this job sooner rather than later.
So it sounded like you were going to agree with me, but then when you gave your ranking RB45, it was much closer to where Kyle has him. So Kyle, why don't you pile on before I make my final stand?
Well, I like Marlon Mack more as a dynasty late round pick. Like, I'm getting him super late in dynasty startups right now, which I think that, again, he's still going to be involved in this offense, but it's, and we saw Nick Sirianni come out earlier today and say that the Colts like a, rather than a 1-2 punch in their backfield, they like a 1-1 punch, whatever that means. You know, so I think that Marlon Mack is still going to be involved, but yet I don't think that it's going to amount to much from a fantasy perspective when you do have someone like Jonathan Taylor. I agree with what Heath was saying there, that I think that, you know, we could see Jonathan Taylor start, you know, come along slowly, but I think that Mack is going to be relegated to this sort of, you know, complimentary piece role. He's not going to see enough work where he's going to be fantasy relevant, where you feel comfortable rolling him in and out of your lineup every single week.
Here's what I like about Marlon Mack. I agree that Jonathan Taylor is much better. Marlon Mack had 2,000 yards in the past 2 years, even though he missed a bunch of time. I mean, the guy missed half a season over the past 2 years. He's a quality football player. It's a great offensive line. And even if he just starts the first 3 weeks, I think that he outperforms his ADP. You know, that's somebody that you can play. You're definitely starting the Colts starting running back, no matter who it is. And if it's Marlon Mack for 3 weeks, that's 3 weeks you can start him. Latavius Murray was startable for 2 weeks last year. Did he outperform his ADP? Heck yeah, he did. I love these high upside backup running backs. And you can think about Marlon Mack more as a backup running back because he's probably going to only start 3 to maybe 5 weeks if Taylor gets hurt, if he gets benched for fumbles, maybe Mack holds on to the job longer. But I think you're getting a starting running back in a solid offense, a mid-range RB2 for a third of the season. I'll take that all day. I mean, I would much rather have someone like that, that you know you can play in those weeks when he's starting, than a Darius Geis. I don't ever want to play him. Cam Akers behind that horrible Rams offensive line, I don't want to play him. You know, other guys going in this range, Jordan Howard behind Miami's offensive line. You've got Matt Breida there as well. He's splitting the workload. I'd rather have Marlon Mack than those guys. All right, let's move on to the next name on Heath's list. We've got Ronald Jones, and this is going to be an interesting one. Yates face Heath, because Yates, you've got Keyshawn Vaughn much higher than I do. So why don't you start, Yates? Keyshawn Vaughn face Ronald Jones.
Yeah. I think that, you know, I've talked about it on the podcast before. Like, I don't think that Ronald Jones is going away, and I don't think that it's going to become this like 100% of the carries go to Keyshawn Vaughn or whatever. I just don't think that that's going to happen. So I do think that Ronald Jones is still going to be involved. However, if Tampa Bay was truly comfortable with Ronald Jones as a starter, they would have looked to grab someone like an Anthony McFarland in the fourth round or later, right? DJ Dallas, we talked about him. But instead, they drafted Keyshawn Vaughn in the third round, who can be a starting running back in the NFL. I was a big fan of his tape in college. So I'm projecting that this is going to be Keyshawn, because he was hand-selected by Bruce Arians, this is going to be Keyshawn Vaughn's team. But yet again, that Ronald Jones is going to be involved. The way that Keyshawn Vaughn climbs up my rankings really highly is that I do see him getting the bulk of the targets in the passing game. So that's why I have him a little bit higher. But again, I do think that Ronald Jones is still going to be involved.
Sure. So, Heath, how high are you drafting Ronald Jones? Is this someone you definitely want to grab in your leagues?
Well, every mock I've done so far, and again, all of my mocks are pretty much with the same guys at CBS, so you guys can tell me what you're experiencing, but every mock I've done, Keyshawn Vaughn goes before Ronald Jones. So I've still like one of two things. If I'm close to the turn at the end of the sixth, start of the seventh, I'm likely to just take Vaughn and then take Jones coming back. But other than that, I've just waited for someone to take Keyshawn Vaughn and then taken Jones around later. I've got him ranked at number 31 and a half PPR. Generally, like projections wise, they're about five or six spots away, but my rankings don't always mirror my projections. And I usually move Vaughn up right next to Ronald Jones because they're going to go right next to each other as soon as somebody sees one of them go off the board, I think. I just, with what happened to Ronald Jones last year, when we saw he would be so much better than Peyton Barber, and then he'd miss a block and wouldn't play again for the rest of the game. And then for two games in a row, he'd get 18 to 20 touches, and then he'd miss one thing. I don't think that was necessarily a Ronald Jones problem so much as a Bruce Arians young running back problem. He really liked the fact that when he put Peyton Barber in the game, he knew Peyton Barber was going to go to the exact spot that he told him to and do the thing that he told him to. And Jones didn't always do that. And Jones may not have figured it out this year, but I do worry that an impediment to Vaughn's progress is going to be with Tom Brady at quarterback. He profiles as a better pass blocker, but I don't know that he'll pick up the scheme quite quick enough. So I do expect Jones to start early in the year, and I'm just not as sure whether Vaughn's going to take the job. But if either of these guys became anything close to the feature back for the Bucs, we're drafting them three rounds too late.
Right. I could see either of these guys becoming an RB, a low-end RB1 in this Bucs offense.
It could be. So I think I'm pretty comfortable just taking both at the 6-7.
So right now, ECR has Keyshawn Vaughn at RB30, Ronald Jones at RB40. So Yates, let me see your rankings here really quick. You've got Keyshawn Vaughn quite a bit higher, and you've got Ronald Jones a fair amount lower. I've got to say, I love Keyshawn Vaughn. Yates, you know I'm with you on this. We both had him as our RB5. Did you have him as RB4 in this class?
I moved him within the tier to RB6 right before the draft move. Clyde Edwards-Helaire up to 4.
Okay, yeah. We both love Keyshawn Vaughn. I love the landing spot as well. But what Heath said makes a lot of sense to me as well, just that Ronald Jones is going to have this job at the start of the season because you got to learn that scheme. I mean, you're not going to just put out a rookie running back in front of Tom Brady, are you? I know Keyshawn Vaughn's supposed to be this great run blocker, but I'm not banking on playing Keyshawn Vaughn until week 5, week 6. A lot of times guys like this, they'll get cut by then. I think that you can skip on Keyshawn Vaughn, get him for a dime, you know, 3-4 weeks into the season, and then, hey, maybe we've got something gold here.
That's an excellent point, and it's something that, and this is why I love having these conversations now, is because with guys like Heath, with guys like you, Bobby, we can talk about this, and we can actually like flesh out our ideas and our philosophies like here on the podcast. So I definitely agree with Heath saying that, like, I think this will be Ronald Jones's, especially if we don't have training camp or an abridged training camp or whatever this is going to look like.
Oh, true.
I think that, you know, my projections for Keyshawn Vaughn may be his true ceiling. So this may be something where I need to go back and evaluate and say, okay, does Ronald Jones have the workload for the first couple weeks? Okay, then what does that do to my rankings? It'll certainly move Ronald Jones up. It'll certainly move Keyshawn Vaughn down.
All right, Heath, we need you to break a tie here. Who are you taking in the early second, mid second between Aaron Jones and Todd Gurley if they're both available to you?
I will be curious what you guys are doing on this one. I haven't dropped Aaron Jones as much as everybody else seems to have since the team acquired AJ Dillon. I still have him as a borderline top 12 back in all formats. Gurley's fine. He's about 4 or 5 spots behind Jones for me, though. I probably wouldn't take him till the end of the second. I'm going to go with Aaron Jones. I think that maybe AJ Dillon comes in and takes the Jamal Williams role, but if it's Jones, sure, and Dillon as opposed to Jones and Williams, and that probably means more targets for Aaron Jones, because I don't think Dillon's going to do a ton in the passing game in his rookie year. So I'm still pretty bullish on Aaron Jones.
So Aaron Jones was the RB2 last year. Todd Gurley only missed one game. He was the RB14. Now, granted, we already talked about the Rams' offensive line, how abysmal it was. He moves to a much better offense. And I get it. Sean McVay's this offensive genius. Jared Goff was horribly behind that offensive line. Todd Gurley just couldn't do anything. And they were holding him back, too. Yates, does Todd Gurley get held back in Atlanta, or do they let him return to this 350-touch workhorse?
I don't think that I'm projecting that high, but it's very hard to look at Atlanta's backfield right now and feel comfortable about it and not give Todd Gurley a ton of work. I mean, like, you look at Brian Hill, Quadri Allison, and Ito Smith, like, are you telling me that you're going to try to give them work above Todd Gurley, you know, or like significant work to take Todd Gurley off the field? So I do have Todd Gurley ranked very aggressively, but I think it's an incomplete puzzle right now where I think that we're going to see Atlanta bring in some veteran running back. Lamar Miller, Carlos Hyde, potentially. We haven't heard any of those names linked to Atlanta, but they've got to do something, because if Todd Gurley runs into his injury issues again, sees regression, like, Atlanta's done. And they're in a very tight Super Bowl window where, you know, Matt Ryan's coming up towards the end of his career. You got have guys like Julio Jones, Calvin Ridley. You've invested heavily in this offensive line. Like, you're going all in, and you need to win this year. So I fully expect them to bring in another running back. It's just going to be a question of, once they do, what does that do to Todd Gurley's workload? At that point, I think it will diminish, and Todd Gurley will come down from my rankings.
Or if Todd Gurley gets hurt, they can just trade a 7th-round pick for Mike Boone, and they wouldn't skip a beat.
You and Mike Boone, man.
He's the greatest, man. Heath, I'm with you. It's Aaron Jones for me. I've got him as my RB8 still. Like, had him RB6, and then they drafted the 2nd-round running back, and I moved him down 2 spots. And I thought that was enough. Apparently, it's not, because everybody's got him as an RB2 now. Like, do we really think he drops from RB number 2 overall to RB14, where a lot of people have him?
I've got him at number 11. So, like, I think the nice thing is, I was looking while you guys were talking about, like, Gurley's touches. I have right now Gurley projected for 3 more touches than Aaron Jones. And I just think that no matter who is there, like, Atlanta for the past half a decade has been a running back by committee team. And I just think that that's their, like, I can't imagine they went and signed Todd Gurley in his knees, and now they've decided they want to go to a full workhorse situation.
That's true. But
the thing that will be interesting, and where Gurley could make me look silly, is the reason I have Jones so much higher than Gurley is I have him projected for a lot better efficiency, because he's been a lot more of efficient back, or at least he was last year. If Gurley, sure. If the offensive line in Atlanta, and specifically the amount of times they like to throw to their running backs, if that can help Gurley's efficiency, then he can be better than where I've got him, even with the reduced workload. But I've got him right now at 266 touches and Jones at 263.
All right, guys, before we keep moving on, I want to pause for just a second and say thanks to the new sponsor of the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast, Dynasty Owner. The best fantasy football leagues are those where every owner constantly pays attention, right? They respond to trade offers, change their lineups. They're always looking for ways to improve their team. There's no off-season for these owners, and that's who you're going to be challenging yourself against in Dynasty Owner. Other elite fantasy football players who are committed to competing. Dynasty Owner is the only fantasy football platform with a patent game using actual NFL salaries and contracts. It is really cool, guys. You combine this with a salary cap, elite trading options, advanced team rosters, and devoted elite owners to compete against, and you're faced with the same decisions NFL owners and general managers must make. If you're ready to take on the best, then don't miss out. Join the waitlist at dynastyowner.com and be sure to select Fantasy Pros Podcast as your source. Again, that's www.dynastyowner.com. I'll see you there. And by the way, before we do get moving on, I want to tell you about a contest we've got going on. We're giving away a signed Alvin Kamara helmet to one lucky listener. And all you have to do to enter for this bad boy is head on over to Apple Podcasts or Stitcher. Leave us an honest review. Let us know what you think about the podcast. Then take a screenshot and send it to us at contest@fantasypros.com. If you want details, you can check out the helmet. You can check out all the details at fantasypros.com/contest. So there's a couple guys being drafted right around Gurley and Jones. Heath, I'm curious which is your favorite out of all of them, because we've got Nick Chubb, who's splitting the workload with Kareem Hunt. We saw his touches go backward when Kareem Hunt came. We got Josh Jacobs. They drafted Lynn Bowden. We got Austin Eckler. They say it's going to be a split workload between him, Justin Jackson, the running back they just drafted, Kelly. We got Kenyon Drake. Does he jump up there? I know you have Chris Carson in that range as well, but which of these would you most prefer over Jones?
With no PPR at all, it would be Chubb. I think that it's a little overstated how much Kareem Hunt affected him last year. The biggest problem he had in the second half was that he only scored 2 touchdowns. And I just don't think that will happen again. I still expect him to get 300 carries, probably catch 20 passes, and I think he scores 10 times at least. In full PPR, I'm sticking with Austin Eckler. I know he's going to share, but he shared plenty last year.
That's true. He was the backup running back last year, and he still was an RB1 in the second half.
Right. He was a top 10 back in the last 12 games after Melvin Gordon showed up. So Eckler would be my favorite of that group in full PPR. In half PPR, I'll go Chubb, but just barely.
Yate, same question for you. In that tier, which running back do you like the most?
I mean, they're all right there, so I think we're splitting hairs here, but I would go Josh Jacobs. Even without the pass-catching work, Josh Jacobs, I think, is going to see a ton of work. I do think that, you know, what he said, if you're taking PPR value out of it, Nick Chubb might climb up again. But looking at that split, I do think that they want Kareem Hunt to be involved. And even though I do project that they're going to run the ball more than they did last year with Kevin Stefanski coming in, it's just hard to see that, you know, Kareem Hunt's going to go away to the point where Nick Chubb won't be truly affected. So I still have Nick Chubb as RB12. Like, I still have him as an RB1. I think he's a great pick. But I think that Josh Jacobs is, if he can stay healthy, if that shoulder isn't bothering him, he can be the guy who can ascend above the rest of those guys.
Let's move up to the second tier. And I feel like the first tier is Christian McCaffrey all by himself. Who's after that for you, Heath? Are you taking Saquon number 2? And then we've got Elliott, Cook, Kamara. What order would you put those 4 guys in?
Again, it depends for me on format, except for the first guy. I'm going with Barkley pretty clearly over that next group. Then I think you kind of get into some question marks. Zeke saw his targets go down last year. I don't think Elliott's going to get the 2018 targets again with the new offense.
And Pollard's great, too.
Right. They're going to throw the ball downfield. They've got 3 outstanding wide receivers, and that could cut into his touchdowns just a little bit. Non-PPR, I still think he's the best after Barkley. And then I've got Kamara as the best after Barkley in full PPR. And then Dalvin Cook is so interesting to me because I love his talent, and he's great in both formats. But he's just like everybody has him as a consensus top 5 pick. And the injury thing that we really make a big deal of with some running backs, just no big deal at all with him for some reason.
Right. I'm so worried about his shoulder and his knees. I've got him as RB6. I've got Joe Mixon ahead of Dalvin Cook. Most have Mixon and Henry in the back end. Some would maybe have Mixon in that tier with Chubb, Jacobs, Jones. What about you, Yates? What are you doing after Christian McCaffrey?
Yeah, the order for me goes Saquon and Zeke in a tier by themselves. And then there's a pretty significant drop off for me, actually. But then I have guys like Kamara, Dalvin Cook, Derrick Henry, and Joe Mixon all in a same tier. So in that order. So I think that it's definitely a concern with the injury concerns with Dalvin Cook. But I think that the fact that he played as many games as he did last year is kind of erasing that concern from people's minds. Like you said, Heath, I think it should still be there.
Yeah, it's all those running backs you just named. Obviously, you're taking Michael Thomas somewhere in that range or maybe ahead of them all. But is there any other wide receiver that you would put in ahead of any of those running backs? Mixon, Henry, Cook, Kamara?
Man, I think Julio belongs above a few of those names. I think that Julio is still in a prime situation to see a ton of targets again this year. That offense should be humming. And again, I don't think that they should feel comfortable relying on the ground game with Todd Gurley. So I do think that they're still going to continue to air the ball out. Julio should still remain in that top tier. The only other guy I would consider in that area is Chris Godwin. I think that he's going to just absolutely dominate with Tom Brady.
I agree. I think that makes a lot of sense. I'm not taking any wide receivers though until, let's see, Chubb and Jacobs are off the board. Besides Michael Thomas, I'll grab Julio Jones right at the turn. Maybe Davante Adams right at the turn, although I don't like his concussion issues. This is the running back quarterback show, though, so let's keep moving on. You know, I probably should have included Clyde Edwards-Helaire in that tier with, you know, Eckler, Gurley, Jacobs. I'm a lot lower on him, though. I've got him as my RB20. Heath, where do you stand on him? I knew you were going to say that, Yates, because I'm looking at your rankings, and you've got him at RB13. Heath, where do you have him?
Yeah, I'm right around where you've got him, right around RB20. I just, again, I don't think there's much chance that he's starting the first quarter of the season if Damian Williams is healthy.
Yeah, but then you've got like 12 games of an RB1, don't you?
Well, if he becomes a feature back, if Williams just goes away, yes.
Yeah.
I don't really think that's part of their plan. Listen, whenever they get to the end of the year, especially in the playoffs the last couple of years, Damian Williams has been incredible.
Yeah.
And I don't think that Clyde Edwards has like even 18 touch a game upside. Now, he could be.
I mean, Jamal Charles touched the ball like 15, 16 times. He was a top tier running back. Yeah.
He could be the most efficient running back in football, and that wouldn't be all that surprising, I guess. He could have a stretch in the second half where he's the number one back, and then my ranking's going to look stupid. But I think there's I think there's a little bit more risk with him not ever really getting over that 10 to 12 hump.
I think we're the odd ones here, Heath, because I've got him at RB 20, and I feel good about it. His ECR right now is RB 13. Miles Sanders, RB 12, who I didn't even mention yet either. Yates, where do you have Miles Sanders?
Yeah, Sanders, his ECR being all the way up there is kind of the same argument with Todd Gurley, where Todd Gurley, it's hard to look at that backfield and give any significant touches anywhere else. I think that people are buying too much into Miles Sanders currently, where I fully expect the Philadelphia Eagles to sign a veteran running back. I think that you're looking at guys like Michael Warren, Adrian Killens, Corey Clements back there.
Boston Scott.
There are some other guys that like you don't feel comfortable giving them a ton of work on the ground. You know, as guys who are UDFAs, Elijah Holyfield was the other one. You know, it's just a crowded backfield right now. So I think that as soon as they add in another veteran running back, that's the point where we're going to see Miles Sanders come crashing back down. I've got him at RB 18 currently. So I still think that he can finish as an RB 2, even with a veteran running back. Let's say that they sign Carlos Hyde, which has been rumored. Then I think that Miles Sanders is still going to finish in that range, an RB 2 range. I don't think he has RB1 upside in this offense purely based on their running back by committee approach.
I'd put him in the same range as Melvin Gordon or Leonard Fournette, who knows just going to get an absolute ton of touches. So I won't have any shares of Miles Sanders. Now I want to move on to outside of the top 20 running backs and just get some names from both of you that at this point you think you're going to target. Now I already mentioned them in the mock draft episode. If you already listened to that, Raheem Mostert, I want all the shares. Heath, I know that you're going to say his teammate, Tevin Coleman, maybe even both of them, because it's San Francisco, right? I also love Matt Breida. Now, Yates, you don't like Matt Breida. You like Jordan Howard, so that'll be interesting as well. And then the high-end backup running backs, Tony Pollard, Alexander Mattison, Latavius Murray. If I can get two of those guys, man, I've got a chance at getting an RB1 at some point in the season. So those are the five I really like to target. Heath, why don't you go next? Who are some guys who stand out to you?
I think that Sony Michel is being overlooked just a little bit. I don't know exactly what the plan is for the Patriots, but I've seen Michel available after 30, 35 running backs have been taken. He's a top 30 guy for me. I think I'm at 26th. You said it earlier with Tariq Cohen. I expect his efficiency to bounce back. He won't be as good as he was 2 years ago, but it'd be a lot better than he was last year. I am fine with both the San Francisco running backs, but it does seem like Tevin Coleman comes at a significant discount in the mocks that I do from Raheem Mostert. We see Mostert go in the sixth or seventh round, and I picked Tevin Coleman in the 10th round of our last mock. And then I think those guys that got replaced, or we think they got replaced, Damian Williams, Kerryon Johnson, Marlon Mack, those guys are all, especially by the time we get to August, going to come at a very nice discount.
Sure. I like that a lot. Yates, why don't you give us a few names you like, buddy?
Yeah, so I mean, Melvin Gordon, I still have him up at RB 17. I still think that he's going to be that main guy in that backfield, but Philip Lindsay is going to be involved. I have Lindsay at RB 31. So I think that this is going to be still, even though they added a ton of weapons at wide receiver, I still think that this is going to be a team that wants to rely on the ground game. So I do think that Gordon and Lindsay are going to see value this year. I'm still in on Mark Ingram, especially, I mean, considering the fact that they drafted J.K. Dobbins, his upside from last year is certainly hurt, but I have him at RB 21 currently. Another guy that I'll just throw out here, you mentioned Jordan Howard. I have Jordan Howard at RB 32, so I'm not projecting necessarily that he's going to be a top option, but in that offense, he's going to be the main guy, in my opinion. I think Matt Breida is always going to be this change of pace, kind of an electric playmaker, get the ball in his hands and let him have high efficiency numbers. I think Jordan Howard is going to be the guy who carries it between the tackles behind a revamped offensive line. So there's a lot that has to take place for Jordan Howard to hit, but his ADP currently is way down the board. I'm comfortable taking Jordan Howard.
Yeah, it definitely is. Now, I love Matt Breida, so I'll fight you over this another time. You mentioned Mark Ingram. And this time last year, this was a player that everybody was saying, man, I've got him higher than the consensus and the ADP. And I was like, why? And eventually I got on board. I got some shares. He finishes the RB8. Are we again overlooking him, Heath?
Maybe a little bit, but I still have a hard time getting excited about it.
Sure. Yeah, I feel the same way, especially with Dobbins, who I like so much. Ingram's, you know, what is he, 30, 31 years old? How long can he keep it up? I just don't really know. He had 15 touchdowns last year. I think that's going to go backward. Lamar Jackson is due for some positive regression on the ground with touchdowns. I think he steals some of those from Ingram. Dobbins does as well. So he's at RB21 ECR. I think I'd rather have him than Jonathan Taylor. I don't really see anyone else ahead of him on the list, though, that I'm, you know, that I have him over. Let's move on over to the quarterback position, though. And Heath, you've got Tom Brady much higher than the consensus. How high are we talking?
Yeah, I mean, maybe much higher is not quite, but okay. I've got him number 9 right now. I think that it's hard to get too much separation at quarterback, especially within the top 12. But and really, I've kind of pulled back on my initial projection because I've only got them throwing about 600 passes this year, which is a significant downgrade from how many pass attempts they had in 2019. They probably won't be chasing the score quite as much as they were in 2019. Still, arguably the best complete set of weapons that Tom Brady's ever had in his career. I still think they're going to throw it 600 times. He's probably going to throw for 4,700 yards and 30 touchdowns. And that's what you have to do if you're not going to run it all, which he's not.
Yeah, it's even with that horrible receiving core that he had last year. We're still talking about 4,100 yards, 27 total touchdowns. Now he goes to a place where Jameis Winston led the league in passing yards because of his weapons. Just how good is Tom Brady? Like, is he your late round quarterback that you'll be targeting?
Yeah, I literally have him identical in my rankings to what Heath has. I have him at RB9, and you know, everything, you literally could copy what Heath said and put it into my. I have him, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers throwing 595 times on the season. I have Tom Brady finishing with 4,600 passing yards. I'm finishing with 29 passing touchdowns. Like, you know, I'm right there with Heath as far as projections. So, you know, this is Tom Brady's going to be a value this year, and I think that, you know, a lot of people are going to be off of him. Just based on, you know, I don't want to draft a 43, 44-year-old quarterback, you know, at the in redraft leagues this year. But so I think that you're going to get Tom Brady at a value. And I think that he could be that guy that I feel comfortable grabbing in the later rounds.
It's just crazy to think of, isn't it? Drafting a 43-year-old quarterback.
Well, I think that, like, the one important thing I would say is those projections for both of us, that's not projecting at Tom Brady's upside. He's got significant upside beyond. I think he's got like 10% better across the board upside pretty easily. And that would make him a top 5 quarterback easily.
I mean, the Patriots, what were they, second in the league in pass attempts just a couple years ago? If Tampa just lets Tom Brady sling it, he could be the NFL MVP as a 43-year-old. He's not my preferred late round quarterback. I've actually got him at number 10 ahead of ECR as well. I prefer Baker Mayfield a little bit higher. I have him at number 11. I have Brady at 10. But I prefer to wait until the last round and get Baker Mayfield just because the weapons he has there, I think he could explode. Finally, they give him an offensive line. We're talking about one of the greatest rookie quarterback seasons of all time, a highly hyped 101 quarterback. Yeah, he had a bad season. How many stud quarterbacks started their career with a bad season in the first couple of seasons? I think Mayfield has a ton of upside. I'm not saying the same kind of upside as Lamar Jackson or Patrick Mahomes, but those are the types of quarterbacks that we have been targeting over the last couple of years. You draft this high upside guy in the late rounds. If he hits, great. If not, you play the streamer game. I'm looking at these quarterbacks. I think Baker Mayfield's the one with the most upside.
Yeah, it depends. Was Kevin Stefanski operating strictly under the orders of Mike Zimmer in Minnesota, or was he chosen for that job after they fired John DeFilippo because he shared that offensive philosophy with Mike Zimmer? Because if they're going to throw the ball 475 times, then Baker Mayfield doesn't have very much upside at all.
None. Yeah, none. Yeah, that's absolutely true.
I'm right there. I'm right there with Heath as far as, like, because I have him down at QB 18, and this is purely just based on...
That's where everyone has him, yeah.
It's purely just based on offensive philosophy. I have the Browns passing for only 510 times, running the ball 455 times. So I think that number could be even higher as far as a rushing total where their passing total comes down. So, you know, you're then relying on Baker Mayfield to be insanely productive and efficient with his touchdown rate. So that's a gamble, but you know, we're talking about as far as your strategy, Bobby, I don't hate it. You know, you're drafting these guys with high upside. I think that we would need to pay attention to the week one schedule for Baker.
He gets Baltimore, man. No.
So then no, I'm not drafting Baker Mayfield.
But then he gets Cincinnati and Washington.
Yeah, then you can pick him up week two if you go a different route, you know. So I think that's the main concern is just what's the offensive philosophy there.
So after Tom Brady, who's the late round upside quarterback for you guys? Are we talking Daniel Jones, Drew Locke, Joe Burrow, maybe even Gardner Minshew I saw you have on your list, or is that just for two quarterback leagues, Heath?
The late round quarterback I'm targeting after Tom Brady would be Matthew Stafford.
Sure. Okay.
I think he's going to be available in the double digit rounds of most drafts. He was incredible before he got hurt last year. He has two extremely good wide receivers in Kenny Golladay and Marvin Jones. TJ Hawkinson should be better in his second year. I don't think the Lions defense is going to be good enough to prevent him from throwing 550 times. But I don't have Gardner Minshew very far behind Matthew Stafford.
Oh, man. Yes.
Minshew's consensus ranking is around 20. I've got him 14th at quarterback, just one spot behind Aaron Rodgers.
Sweet. Yeah, he's 24.
There are some things that happened in his rookie year with the rushing production that I don't think are very sustainable, but I love his weapons and I love his situation. That Jacksonville defense is going to be a disaster. There's no, like, his ranking is almost as if everyone still thinks Jacksonville's going to sign someone or draft someone to take the job. And they just could not be more clear about their lack of interest in giving someone else a chance to start over Gardner Minshew. Gardner Minshew is going to start 16 games unless he gets hurt. He's probably going to throw 580 passes because they're not going to stop anybody. And he's got very good weapons. So I if he plays 16 games, he's going to be a top 10 quarterback.
He had more fantasy points per game last year than Tom Brady, Ryan Fitzpatrick. He was right behind Aaron Rodgers, right behind Daniel Jones, right behind Carson Wentz. And that was with some really poor touchdown luck as well.
That was with two of his games being half games.
That's right. That's exactly right. I mean, he was scoring 17 fantasy points every single week. I remember us talking about it.
Yeah, I think a lot of the guys you mentioned, he was actually better than in his starts.
Yeah. You mentioned Matthew Stafford. I just want to highlight this, okay? Before he got hurt, he was on pace for over 5,000 passing yards and 38 touchdowns. What? Oh, man.
Yeah, I think that, you know, that offense started to click. And so if that can, it's hinging on health for him. But, you know, that offense definitely showed that it can do some damage. So I think that, again, he's one of those guys that you're relying on high efficiency. But Heath said, you know, that defense necessarily isn't a huge, you know, it didn't make huge, huge improvements across the board. So could be another recipe where you're throwing the ball more than you anticipated.
For super flex leagues, I see that you've got Tyrod Taylor as somebody that you're targeting, Yates. Now, obviously, they drafted Justin Herbert, but Tyrod's got some serious weapons to work with this year. Andy runs the ball quite a bit. I like this call. Can you explain why you've got him so high?
Yeah, this is purely based on projecting Tyrod to start all 16 games because I do not believe that Justin Herbert should see the field in year one. Now, we've seen this. I mean, again, Tyrod Taylor and Baker Mayfield. We've seen that Tyrod can be replaced 4 or 5 games into the season. So he's definitely a riskier pick. But when you're talking about a rushing quarterback and their upside for fantasy football, Tyrod fits the bill. And I think that he's someone who, when I did my initial projections and gave him the rushing total and his like average yards per carry, he was up like in my top 10. And I was like, no, I can't do that. I had to back that one down. So I think that if you're talking about in a super flex league, just because in a dynasty league, particularly, I'm targeting Tyrod Taylor because he can be someone who I can roll out the first 4 weeks or whatever. And then when Justin Herbert, you know, takes over eventually, then, he can ride my bench again. But he's someone who definitely has upside because of his rushing ability.
You say, no, I can't do that, have him in the top 10 fantasy quarterbacks. But listen to this, okay? Back when he was a full-time starter in 2016, here's the list of quarterbacks who averaged at least 18 fantasy points per game. Aaron Rodgers, Matt Ryan, Tom Brady, Drew Brees, Andrew Luck, Kirk Cousins, Tyrod Taylor. That's it. Does he have this much upside, Heath? Can he replicate that now that he actually has weapons with the Chargers?
It's going to be really interesting because one of the biggest arguments I hear against Austin Ekeler is, well, yeah, but they've got Tyrod Taylor now. They're not going to throw anywhere close to 550 passes. And I just don't know how much they intend on changing their offensive philosophy and how run heavy they're going to get. I've actually, Taylor's one of those guys, and I talked about how sometimes my rankings don't perfectly reflect my projections. I think I've got Taylor at like 24 in my rankings. In my actual projections, he's 18th. So I do think, and they have a very good schedule to start the year. You could do worse than just streaming Tyrod Taylor. He could lose his job. I don't think Justin Herbert is ready. I don't think he's going to be a particularly good NFL quarterback. I could be wrong about that. That they have a team that should be in the playoffs this year. Taylor's, I think, good enough to manage games and get them to the playoffs. So that's why I agree. I think he's playing 16 games unless he's just awful.
Hold on just a second. Have you seen his schedule, Yates?
No,
I haven't. The first 9 weeks are all golden. The Bengals, the Chiefs, the Panthers, the Bucks, the Saints, the Jets, the Dolphins, the Jags, and the Raiders. Those are 9 good matchups for a quarterback.
Those are really good matchups, yeah.
Holy cow. Yeah, I think I'll be drafting Tyrod Taylor in some super flex leagues. Let's go into our top 10 guys that we're targeting, at least if they drop to us into a certain range. Actually, I just want to ask, how high would you take Lamar Jackson, Heath?
Not before the third round.
Okay.
And I go back and forth like, yeah, I think it's very dependent on format because in CBS leagues, 6 points per pass touchdown. And so Lamar is not even my number one quarterback.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense with a 6-point touchdown. So I'm assuming Mahomes.
Mahomes might throw 8 or 9 more touchdown passes than Lamar does this year.
He could throw 15 more. Yeah, I mean, Jackson's not throwing for, what, 8.5% touchdown rate this year?
Exactly. There's significant regression coming in the passing numbers. And I'm just really curious. Like, we know the rush attempts are not going to stay where they were last year.
There's no way. Yeah.
I kind of expect they'll decrease a little bit this year and a little more the next year. So I don't plan on drafting Lamar Jackson. I do plan on probably having, this is going to make me really sad, but I'll probably have Lamar Jackson in a bust column because when CBS ADP gets caught up, he's going to have a first round ADP.
Oh yeah, man. I forgot people are going to do that. People are really going to do that. And we will all be screaming from the rooftops, don't do this. Now, I love Lamar Jackson. When you hear him interviewed, like, that is a teammate and a leader through and through. He's so easy to root for. And I don't ever want to project injuries. But when a quarterback of his frame is running the ball as often as he does, Yates, that's something we have to consider, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you're gambling if you take Lamar Jackson in redraft leagues. Now, it can certainly pay off, and we've seen it pay off.
But he was a first-round value last year.
Right. You know, the benefit with Lamar Jackson was that you were taking him so late. What was his ADP last year?
He was going in the 9th round.
Yeah, I was just about to say 8th or 9th round. So it was later on where you were getting a value in Lamar Jackson, where then he's suddenly this top-tier quarterback. He's the QB1 by far. Like, you have this value. So, you know, I think that we enter home league season where people are going to be taking Lamar Jackson in the top 5 picks. I just, you know, I'm not there. I'm with Heath, maybe back at the 2nd round, early 3rd. If I am going to take Lamar Jackson, I just don't know if I am going to in redraft leagues.
All right, guys, last question, and this one's for everybody to answer. Obviously, Mahomes is our number 2, or if it's in a 6-point per touchdown league, Mahomes would maybe be our 1 and Jackson would be our 2. After that, though, I see 4 quarterbacks who all have a case to be number 3. Dak Prescott, Kyler Murray, Russell Wilson, Deshaun Watson. Those are the 4 in order in ECR. Some might even say Josh Allen because of his rushing upside. And then you've got Drew Brees, Matt Ryan. I don't think anyone would have them in the number 3. Who do you have number 3, Heath?
I've got Dak Prescott, and it is relatively close. I do think that Prescott's got a little bit better floor and just as much upside as anyone, though. This offense works very well with his skill set. It's hard to have a better trio of wide receivers than he has. Plus, he has Ezekiel Elliott and a good, if not still great, offensive line. The situation's just wonderful. And you've heard a lot of talk around the NFL about how much continuity is going to matter for this 2020 season. And they've got a large percentage of that offense back. So I think they'll be hitting all cylinders.
You know, we keep saying that Dak Prescott's going to stop rushing for so many touchdowns. He's got 21 in 4 years. I don't think it's ever going to stop. It's just who he is. Yates, I've got Dak as my number three. I've got Kyler Murray as a very close number four. And then after that, there's no chance I'm taking Wilson. There's no chance I'm taking Watson. I want either Dak or Murray if they fall to me in the seventh round. Otherwise, I'm just going to wait and take a quarterback in the late round. Maybe Aaron Rodgers, maybe Brady, maybe Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, I have Russell Wilson at three, and that's purely just based on his end of the year totals. Like, you know, we've seen this with Russell Wilson where he finishes the QB4 last year, and it wasn't necessarily on the back of consistent week in and week out production. You know, if they get to a big lead, you know, Seattle's going to run the ball. And so you could see Russell Wilson finish with 16 attempts in a game. You know, that's just not what I want from a fantasy football quarterback. So I think that the guys I have, Russell Wilson, Kyler Murray, Deshaun Watson, Dak Prescott, and Josh Allen, and I'll throw Carson Wentz into that same tier, like they're all right there. And I'm probably, what I'll be doing is a strategy of just saying whoever has the lowest ADP, I'll take them at that point. If not, I will take, you know, Tom Brady later. I'll take Gardner Minshew, deploy that kind of strategy.
You know, I said that was the last question. I lied to you guys because I came up with another question. So I'm looking at Russell Wilson right now, 407 pass attempts, 452, 483, 427. He had 516 last year. If we ever see him air the ball out 600 times, if Pete Carroll just realizes what he has here, is Russell Wilson, I get it. Patrick Mahomes is incredible. He won the Super Bowl. Lamar Jackson won the MVP. He was remarkable last year. Is Russell Wilson the best quarterback in football, Heath?
No, Patrick Mahomes.
You think so? Okay. I'm going Russell Wilson, guys.
He's awesome. I'm going to take your question and take it a little bit different direction.
Okay.
Because I think the same thing you just said applies to Deshaun Watson. I think he's awesome, and he's never been fully unleashed, and the Texans' defense might just be abysmal this year. There's a sneaky upside with Watson, too, even with Hopkins gone.
You know, with Russell Wilson, he's never had a DeAndre Hopkins. He's never had a Tyreek Hill, a Travis Kelce. Yates, you get to break the tie. Who's the best quarterback in the NFL? Are you going different than Mahomes or Wilson?
I think that if we saw Russell Wilson air the ball out, just be given that opportunity.
Like, put him in the Chiefs offense. Is he better than Mahomes?
Yeah, oh my word, yes, I think so. I think that Russell Wilson is one of the most underrated quarterbacks in the NFL, just from a pure passing standpoint. So I think that if he were to ever land in an offense with a play caller that would let him throw the ball, and especially, you know, continue to utilize his legs because he does possess such, you know, immense rushing upside, I think we would be talking about him as the best quarterback in the NFL.
For what it's worth, I want to clarify, Yates and I understand most people think Mahomes or Jackson are the best quarterbacks in the NFL. We know we're the weird ones here. Heath, thank you so much for coming on the show. This was a lot of fun.
It's always a lot of fun. Thanks for having me.
It's our pleasure. And guys, give Heath a follow on Twitter if you don't already. At his name, Heath Cummings, SR. I'm at Bobby Fantasy Pro. And Kyle is at Kyle Y NFL. All right. And I want to say thanks to the sponsors of today's show, Fielder's Choice Goods. Don't forget, Father's Day is right around the corner. So make sure to hit up www.fcgoods.com and get your dad one of those vintage baseball glove leather handcrafted wallets. Again, that's fcgoods.com. And use the discount code Fantasy Pros. And thanks also to Dynasty Owner. Guys, you are going to love this site, so make sure to check it out. Go to www.dynastyowner.com and be sure to select Fantasy Pros Podcast. That way they know we sent you. Again, that's dynastyowner.com. And remember, we've got that signed Alvin Kamara helmet giveaway. You can check out the details for it at fantasypros.com/contest. And finally, if you guys want to save yourself hours of time and help yourself win your league this year, check out the cheat sheet creator at fantasypros.com/draftwizard. You'll be able to import your custom rankings or consensus of your favorite experts in the industry into the draft simulator and draft assistant, which is basically like having your select team of experts in the war room with you. Again, you can check out the cheat sheet creator at fantasypros.com/draftwizard. For Heath Cummings and Kyle Yates, I'm Bobby Sylvester. Thanks for listening. And enjoy your football. I just wanted you to watch me dissolve slowly in a proof of your love. I don't even know how the chemistry works when your rules are kicking in the dirt, kicking in the sand, and stirring up trouble. There are some things that are too good to keep a secret.
like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notified, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.